Inner Ideas Matter segment, we take time out every week to check in with the state humanities councils in our seven-state region. Today, we learn about Reading Frederick Douglass, a statewide initiative led by Mass Humanities. Communities and organizations around the state typically organize public readings of Douglass's speech, What is the Meaning of 4th of July to the Negro? We are joined today by Manisha Sinha, professor of Afro-American Studies at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and Rose Saki Milligan, program officer at Mass Humanities. With them, we explore the value of the humanities in enhancing and improving civic life, and it's a great pleasure to welcome them both back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for having me, Joe.
Very nice to have you both back on the program. Rose, let us begin with you as to how all of this, I know we've talked about this before, of reading Frederick Douglass, of how this began and the importance of it for Mass Humanities.
Thanks, Joe. Yes, the Reading Frederick Douglass initiative started in 2009, so we're actually in our eighth year. And it was started by three organizations, the Charles Hamilton Houston Institute for Race and Justice at Harvard Law School, Community Change, Inc. in Boston, and Mass Humanities. And essentially, it started as an initiative to talk about issues of race and race relations in the era of Obama. What did it mean to talk about these issues and how to use the speech as a catalyst for exploring all of these issues? And so across the state, there are currently a number of organizations from Pittsfield to the Cape who organize these readings, these public communal spaces where the speech is read by the public in public spaces, and often there's an opportunity to talk about the issues that Frederick Douglass raises in the speech in terms of its contemporary relevance, and individuals refer to that speech and make meaning of the speech in terms of the issues that could be local, regional, or national.
How long has Mass Humanities been doing this particular program?
Since 2009, the first initiative began in Boston, and since then we have been encouraging organizations and communities across the state to do the same. And currently this year we hope, we expect to have 12 communities of across the state for more than 1,000 or so people who will be reading the speech, reflecting on the speech. And it doesn't have to be public in the sense of being in a park or in a church or synagogue or anything like that. It could be just a couple of individuals on the 4th of July as you digest your hot dogs and hamburgers to reflect and think about the speech. So families could read it, communities as a whole could read it, but it's quite small enough. The speech comes in various sizes. By that I mean there are various lengths that it is available to many people.
Let us talk a little bit about Frederick Douglass. And Professor Sinha, give us a sense of why it is so important, do you believe, for such an initiative to read Frederick Douglass?
Yes, so I really applaud the Mass Humanities for launching this program because we really don't know that much about the history of abolitionists and especially black abolitionists like Frederick Douglass. The speech is actually one of the most brilliant 4th of July speeches ever given by an American citizen. And it really draws upon a long tradition among black abolitionists of commemorating events linked to the country's founding and to an end to slavery. So even before Douglass, you had many black abolitionists who gave speeches around the 4th of July. In fact, Douglass gave a speech on the 5th, which was a longstanding black tradition of giving 4th of July speeches on the 5th, because many times white mobs would attack African Americans who took part in Independence Day celebrations in the 19th century. So there was a long tradition of black abolitionists who celebrated an end to the African slave trade, an end to slavery in the northern states. In New York State in 1827, there were many black abolitionists who gave these 4th of July speeches to commemorate emancipation in the state of New York. And Douglass, when he moved to New York from Massachusetts, really picks up on this tradition. And he gave this speech to the Rochester Ladies Anti-Slavery Society on July 5th. And it's an amazing speech because at one point, Douglass shames his audience by saying, you know, how can you celebrate the 4th of July while you have the existence of slavery? And then he ends it actually by going back to America's revolutionary Republican values and pointing to the Constitution and saying that if you truly believe in these ideals, then in fact you would call for an end to slavery, for an end to racism, and for black equality and black citizenship, which was a radical call in the 19th century when over 90% of African Americans were enslaved and many free African Americans did not enjoy the full rights of citizenship.
Do you think we fully understand, and obviously there are such efforts that the Mass Humanities has underway, which are great in our understanding, overall and excluding that, do you think we know enough about Frederick Douglass, but also about other important leaders who that really can enhance our knowledge on these particular issues?
That's another great question. You know, I really feel we don't know much about abolitionists, black and white men and women, who really struggled against slavery for a very long time, long before the Civil War ended slavery. And so I think there is a need for us to get to know the history of these exponents of American democratic radicalism, people who really held up the country to its ideals. And in a way, it's the reason why I wrote my book, Slave's Cause, A History of Abolition, because I think these men and women are really the unsung heroes of American democracy.
When you think about this as an overall program, Rose, and as you mentioned, it's something you've been doing since 2009, what do you feel has been accomplished and you've been allowed to discuss as the communities have tackled this project?
I think communities have been able to discuss a wide range of topics. I think in the last couple of years, particularly with the issue of police brutality in African American communities, I think that this the existence of this contemporary situation for black people in our democracy, this has been a call to reflect on what other leaders, past leaders, have said about this the concerns of black people in this country. They have used the speech to think very critically about how to move forward, how to engage everyone in their community in this conversation that is so relevant, so important for all of us to think about. I think the speech has brought an awareness that our democracy is one that is not yet fully developed, and that all of us have a role and have a responsibility to continue to push that effort forward. So the speech has been sort of a call for all of us to remember, to reflect, to look at where we are as a democracy and to continue to push forward to make sure that this nation can be the best that it can be.
When you think about the, again, the discussions that take place, mm-hmm. Professor Sinha, have you taken part in any of these discussions?
Yes, I was actually really heartened to see that many contemporary activists, the movements that Rose just mentioned, you know, movements against mass incarceration or the Black Lives Matter movement, Occupy Wall Street, they have really been interested in my book because it tells a sort of a 19th century version of what they are fighting for today. So, for instance, I found that abolitionists were already pointing two problems that we struggle with today. For instance, the criminalization of blackness. William Lloyd Garrison called attention to it after the passage of the Fugitive Slave Law of 1850, which he said facilitated even the kidnapping of free blacks. And he said, you know, this would make every black person suspect. They fought against the racially differential use of capital punishment against capital punishment in Massachusetts. I was interested to find that abolitionists sent as many petitions against capital punishment to the Massachusetts General Court as they did for the abolition of slavery and other anti-slavery causes. So I do think that abolitionists were the first to point out the problem of race in American democracy, and we can learn a lot from them. I also found, of course, that you know, people at that time were talking about black citizenship and how, you know, a critic of Garrison asked him, would you ever vote for a black man as president? And he said, why not? Of course I would, if a suitable candidate came across. And I read this just as President Obama had been elected. And to me, it was just so prescient. So I do think we have made progress since the 19th century in terms of struggling for creating an interracial democracy in this country. But we must realize that the story of American freedom is not a linear one where, you know, we just keep expanding the boundaries of freedom and including people who were left out. That's the way it's normally taught. And I think that's incorrect. As a historian, one realizes how contested these ideas were then and how contested they remain today. So this idea of sparking a conversation on race, citizenship, and democracy, and what it means to us today in terms of confronting problems or controversies that we experience, I think is just an excellent one.
Manisha Sinha is the author of the book, The Slave's Cause, A History of Abolition, and was our guest recently here on the Roundtable. And if you want to hear a full discussion on that book, and many of the topics that we just talked about in more detail, you can go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, and hear the entire interview. In the meantime, you can find out more about this project with Mass Humanities, as well as hear this interview again with links to Mass Humanities by going to wamc.org/roundtable as well. Rose Sackey-Milligan and Manisha Sinha, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Best of luck and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Joe. You too.
Thanks to you both. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.